Our Hebrew Bible reading this morning takes us right to the beginning, Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was complete chaos, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness God called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. It's the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Will you pray with me? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd like to invite forward Dave Morissette for our conversational sermon series on galaxies and poetry and divine calling. Well, first off, Dave, thank you for agreeing to partake in our conversational sermon series. I really appreciate it. I think we're going to have a good time this morning. How are you feeling?
A little nervous.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not used to sharing, so this goes beyond just helping out.
Yeah, usually you can kind of be in the yes. Behind the scenes and running things, but so I'm grateful for your willingness to be vulnerable and to share. Yeah. I want to start by asking you about the photograph on the front of our bulletin or at the top of your order of worship. Can you tell us a little bit about that picture?
Yeah, so that picture is from the NASA website for the Hubble photos. It's one of that's a cluster of galaxies. And each galaxy has, I don't know, 100 billion, 200 billion stars. Wow. So just looking at that, it is also the deep field, but I think this one looks better in the picture. But I think it just talks to me about the how large the universe is, how magnificent it is, the awe of looking out there, and how wonderful it is to be a part of the universe.
Mm. Yeah. I remember you said in our conversation earlier this week, I stand in awe of that.
I stand in awe. I look at that, yeah. And it makes me think back to, our ancestors. Obviously, they were looking at galaxy clusters, but they would have been looking out at the stars, and it's one of the reasons I chose, the Genesis passage, is because I feel like we've always looked for the beginning, for a creation story. And, no matter whether it was our ancestors looking out at the night sky, whether it's us looking out the Hubble pictures, and just looking at that and just being amazed, just that we're here.
Yeah, we talked extensively. If you get a chance to talk more with Dave about astronomy and astrophysics, you'll learn a lot. But we talked a lot about the Goldilocks zone and just the chances that we would be on a planet that's just the right distance from the sun, and a sun that's not going to die too soon, and the moon being in orbit with us so that we don't have too big of fluctuation in our seasons. I mean, it's amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, the fact that we're, you know, we're in a spiral arm of the galaxy, far enough away from the center where large novas, supernovas could be taking place. We're orbiting a sun that is a long-lived sun. We've been in existence with the sun for 4.5 billion years. You know, the fact that we're at the right location, and a planet that has water and oxygen, has an atmosphere that blocks out a lot of the harmful rays, has a magnetic field. Mm. And when you look at it, when I look at all of that, I'm just amazed that we exist. And I just look at that and say, and I'm thankful for it. It's like, you know, that I have a chance to live it and to appreciate it.
Yeah. Can you tell us in layperson's terms, what would you say is your favorite or one of your favorite astronomical phenomena?
Well, I don't know. I mean, just the fact that we exist.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a galaxy of stars that, you know, if you look back at the, you know, what they, you know, theorizes the Big Bang, and you look at that and you say, how did all of this happen? I just think the fact that we exist in everything I just said, in a galaxy, on a planet, it's just, to me, amazing.
Yeah. It's funny, we tend to think of, at least I do, the Genesis story as sort of like God created the universe, God created Earth. But we talked at Bible study on Wednesday night that the actual words, which were translated into English appropriately this morning when Lori read them, when God began to create. And it reminds me that the universe is still expanding. There's still ongoing.
Yes.
It's not just, you know, a clock or a mechanism that was set to run and then, you know, kind of left to its own devices. There's still, I think you talked about it as a life force.
Yes,
that
a life
is still
force, right. Yes,
I,
to me, that's very important. And that goes to what I feel is what the Holy Spirit is. Mm-hmm. It's a life force that in the universe, in us, and in life itself. It's just, to me, you know, I just stand in awe of that anytime I think about it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that life force, the fact that we exist, that we can think about it, that we can look up at the stars and wonder, it's just incredible.
Yeah, and that we increasingly have the technology to find
more, yes.
More.
Yes.
We talked about how I was at a planetarium recently and they showed all the infrared energy, and it just, if you're just looking at it with your naked eye, it looks black and empty. But then if you look with different tools, you're going to see that there's so much more happening than we know about it at first glance.
I think you hit on an important point, is what we see is a very small portion. Is the electromagnetic spectrum is, you know, our visible light is such a small portion, and that's why, you know, many of the telescopes that we use now, I'm not an astrophysicist. I was an accountant by trade. is just the, you know, the infrared, we get more, we look at the X-ray, radio astronomy is just incredible.
Yeah.
And also just, you know, we use that radio astronomy for something called SETI, which is a search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Mm-hmm. We haven't found it yet. I think there's some on this planet. Sometimes I'm not convinced, but I do when I come to church.
And
look at what we can do.
Yeah. Yeah, and we talked about, you know, you said, imagine if we could, as a species, focus our energies on something besides war and
yes.
conflict, you know, what we could do.
Yes.
And space exploration is a reminder of that, I think.
Yes, and I think, you know, I know it's not one of the biblical passages we read today, but another one of my favorites is from Isaiah, where he talks about they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Yeah. And I think that's also something that I kind of try to latch on to, is that we have so much more capability as a species. Just imagine what we could do.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a perfect transition, because I think you quoted one of the most poetic images in the Bible, beating swords into plowshares. We've heard it so many times, but think about how fresh that must have sounded the first time someone wrote that or listened to it. Like, there's a whole dream there of how humanity could be different, right?
Right.
And where our energies could go. So let's talk about poetry a little bit. That they might not seem connected at first, but as we looked at as we read in our call to worship, there are plenty of poetry out there about the universe and
yes.
and how that the mystery that is there. What does poetry do for you, or what does it mean to you?
I think when and it's not all poems. Sometimes I can read a poem and it's doesn't really do much. But there are other poems that really kind of speak to really that same kind of awe and magnificence of just who we are and who we can be. You know, there's one of my favorite poets is Langston Hughes. And, you know, he wrote some incredible poems. You know, he was so imbued to me with the Holy Spirit, especially one of his poems that's called The Negro Speaks of Rivers. And he just, you know, goes on about, I've known rivers, ancient dusky rivers, and my soul has grown deep like the rivers. And for me to be able to read something like that, I'm not there, but to know that somebody, and when Langston Hughes wrote this poem, he was 17 years old.
Gosh.
And for him to have that type of deep understanding of just everything is, to me, amazing. It's just one of the poets for me that, you know, just says so much when you read them.
Yeah.
And also, you know, there's another poet, Mary Oliver, who wrote a poem called Wild Geese. And that's another one that, you know, it really just says so much to me is when I read that. And it's just, it really goes back to just being kind of awe of who we are and who we can be.
Would you read it for us, Dave?
The whole poem?
Yeah.
So it's, you do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about your despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things. Mm. And I think it's really that last part of that poem that really kind of, to me, is it just gets to me every time. It's over and over announcing your place in the family of things.
Mm.
And I think poetry helps me to, reminds me that I am part of something more than just myself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that channel, as we talked about earlier this week, that channel between us and the divine and us and other people, that it can take a specific experience or image and kind of universalize it so we can all
yes.
connect to it. And I think that poem is actually perfect for a day of baptism and confirmation, right? Your place in the family
of things.
And also,
things.
As I was reading out loud our baptism and confirmation liturgy, there's some high bars there. It's kind of inviting you into this like very noble commitment to this path. And I think we need to alter that. We need to edit it a little bit to remind ourselves you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to crawl.
You don't have to be perfect. Right.
And that's Mary Oliver was a great prophet of that, of letting the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Because that's a part of our tradition too, is that there's grace and
there's
welcome
grace
from God, and we don't have to be perfect.
But I also like you don't have to walk on your knees. Uh-huh. And maybe that's because having grown up Catholic, I appreciate where I am now in a religious community, yeah, where it's not just repenting, it's in being in awe of everything.
Yeah. Let's change to our final subject here, which I think is also about your place in the family of things, which is we have the lofty name of divine calling on the front of our bulletin here. But tell us a little bit about the sense of call that you experienced more recently, kind of after or close to retirement, and how that sort of played out for you at church.
Well, I think, as I retired, it was just about the... It was during the, right, in 2021, so the pandemic was full-blown. And, one of the things I realized is how important this community is to me. And it felt for a while like we could lose some of it. But thankfully, much to Leah's pushing, she kept us together when we couldn't meet in person, by going on Zoom. And that kind of inspired me and helped give me a call. And divine call might be a little pushing it.
Who else is doing the calling, Dave?
Okay. But really, I mean, I really got involved in, when we started going into hybrid, is getting help getting set up. I did not do it by myself. Is there were other people very much involved who know much more about the technology than I did. But things kind of fell in place. I contacted ACMI across the street there, and I told him what we were looking for, and he says, I just happen to have some equipment in storage that you can use. And so we used the cameras and the equipment that he had to go to a hybrid. Now, when we did this, I could spell Zoom, but that was about it. I did not know anything about it. But there was something driving me to really help keep this, not just by myself, it was to help keep the community together, help it thrive. And I think we've done a good job of that. I mean, it's 5 years later, and we're still Zooming. We have roughly 25 people every week online. So it's become a fairly important piece of who we are as a community. Mm-hmm. It's not an insignificant piece of who we are now. And there are, there's a community there. Some people are there every week. Some people when they're traveling or, like Jane when she wasn't able to come in because of her surgery, she was online for a couple of weeks. And I did the same thing a few years back when I had knee surgery, 2 years ago. So I think that there was a calling there for me that despite not knowing really what I was doing, I was going to do it anyway. And I think back, and I think a younger me would not have done that. Mm. I would have thought, I won't be able to do this. I'll just mess it up. I'll be a failure at it. But that didn't cross my mind, and I'm not sure why. And to me, that was the calling, is be a part of this community and just kind of help it get to the next level.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really, I was talking about standing in awe. I'm in awe of that because I think a lot of us, especially as we become adults and get kind of set in our ways, we're not willing to try new things that we might fail at or look silly at, or the Zoom coverage goes out and nobody knows what's happening and you're scrambling. there's some moments of stress and panic in that, and You didn't let that stop you. So to me, that's...
thank you.
paying attention to where God might be nudging us or inviting us, and our first reaction is, not like, who, me, Lord? No. But fortunately, there's a long line of prophets who said, who, me, Lord? No, thank you. And God eventually convinced them. And so I think you're in that line.
I wouldn't be in the same category as the prophets.
Minor prophet, then, as our poets today are. Speaking of which, those two poems that you talked about are in our poetry basket. There's several copies of them, along with several others, and then folks brought in poems. So please take one on your way out. You can sift through if you want, or you can do kind of like we do with our star words at the beginning of the year and just grab one sight unseen and see how the Spirit speaks to you through it. But thank you so much, Dave, for joining us and for sharing some of your passions and your willingness to try new things and to change.
Thank you.
Yeah. And let the congregation say, amen. And please, folks, we're on our closing hymn. Don't make me stand up here alone like I did for the first two. We usually have a crew of like 6 to 10 people up here singing. So if you know the song, come up and sing it with us. Friends, as we go out into this week and into this world, keep those three topics that Dave and I talked about in mind. One is to be looking up and out in awe at the world around us, whether that is the night sky or the flowers coming at the end of summer or other folks that we see around us. Another is poetry or art or something that can be right kind of in front of us and help reflect back to us our experiences or open and broader our experiences of others. And the last one is that sense of calling that's within us, where God is speaking to us, sometimes in very minor and quiet ways, just urging us to do the right thing or to reach out to someone in need, sometimes asking us to take on a new venture in life and to find the new life that comes from that, that we might be attentive to where God is in all of that, around us, in front of us, inside of us, beyond us, and that we might go into that knowledge and carry it with us. And join us downstairs for our reception for Saatchi. Go in peace. And don't forget to take a poem.